Arlene Holder. She's a counselor. She's a counsel at Cliff Dick Hofmeyr, but she's also, you know, a hearing impaired person who's working there. And when we speak about diversity and inclusion, we often speak about gender and race and education background. We seldom don't speak about those who could be impaired in their ears or even visually. And that's the conversation we'll be having in a bit. In the last 30 minutes of the show, we'll have our Power Suite segment. Lines are open on 0861 987 000. For you to engage Charlene and all our guests this evening. Charlene is indeed in studio, and behind me actually is her interpreter, Adima Gatso, who is helping us have this conversation this evening. Charlene, a good evening to you. Thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Wonderful, Charlene. Charlene, like I said, when we often speak of issues of diversity and inclusion, we're speaking about gender and race and backgrounds. But we seldom speak about the issue of a person who could be hearing impaired. Let's speak about what your experience has been like in a corporate like Cliff Dick Hofmeyr as somebody who is battling with their hearing.
I'm actually hard of hearing, so I can speak. Not all of these people can speak well like me. And my experience working at Cliff Dick Hofmeyr and CDH have been an incredibly amazing journey. They have recognized our need, and they provide all the resources and like Microsoft Team meeting, interpreter, and video calls and everything. They also provide interpreter for the events and meetings, so all the deaf people are not left behind. So it's one of my favorite things. They also treat all the deaf people like a normal person.
What I'm very keen to actually find out about that, you know, I think when people are in school, they're getting very fancy degrees. What they never, what we're never really taught, Charlene, at any given point, is how to ensure that people who are impaired, it could be in vision, could be in hearing, are included in environments. I'm keen to find out here, is it a matter of education? Is it a matter of will? Is it a matter of budget? What sort of things need to apply in the company to ensure that, you know, there is a proper inclusion?
Yes, we do need to teach hearing people about that. We can make them aware about the deaf people by sending a deaf call from EDEF and the other organization. So when they send the deaf call to them, they can be more aware of what the deaf people need, their culture, their communication, and all the stuff.
I'm keen to find out about you training also, you know, in your job to become a counselor at a CDH. What was that like, you know, also knowing that you had every intention of working in an environment that was with what people may call people with no physical impairments? Was that a concern of you? Were you anxious about it because of, you know, the lack of education, the lack of awareness?
I mean, in the beginning, I was a bit nervous because I'm not used to working with hearing people. But after Cliff Dick had provided all the resources, I'm more comfortable working with them because I know that I can help them, you know, and I can work with them. And it's phenomenal. I mean, fantastic. It's not like all the deaf people have the opportunity to do so. And I'm very grateful for that.
Let's talk about a day in your life, Charlene. How does that work when you get to work? You know, what do you do? And also, I'm very keen to find out if it's also led your colleagues, you know, to learn how to sign, just to have, you know, a better environment to communicate with you better.
When I get to work, I start working and getting into a meeting with my co-workers, and we will go through all the work and getting to meeting about what we do during the day. With my co-worker, I've been working with them for 4 years, and yes, they do learn a bit, you know, they try their best, they learn the alphabet, but I think because I'm speaking very well, so they are more comfortable speaking with me, because sign language is actually quite difficult for them to learn, because it's a lot to learn, so they try their best. I'm very proud of my co-workers, because they did their best.
Let's talk about policy. You know, when we go into any corporate in South Africa, around the world, you'll see the diversity and inclusion policy. It is taught to everybody who comes into the company. It is part of the corporate culture. Is it important for policy to be there for instance, a hearing impairment here, where it is a conversation that's being had by colleagues on the day to day? But there's also documents, hardcore documents, you know, that really legitimize the thinking and the ideas around it.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. There must be a policy, because when these people come to the office, they are not aware what to do and they don't provide the resource. And it's like these people don't have the right to their need. So, yes, they must set up a policy. So when the deaf people come to the office, they know they are provided with the resource and everything.
I'm also keen to find out about, if you have, then if your journey has encouraged other people who are hearing impaired to just take the leap of faith. Because what sometimes, especially when we're speaking about people who are hearing impaired or visually impaired, it ends up being an isolated community away from places like CDH, for instance, you know. Is it encouraging people? Are you doing work to encourage people to just take the leap of faith and go in and really lobby for yourself? Because I think you've had to learn to speak for yourself and really lobby for yourself.
Yes. I've been working at Cliff Deacon for 4 years, so we have the deaf people in the company. So I encourage them, and you know, I say, if I can do it, you can do it. And I also encourage them to go to training. That I think they're very nervous and they're not used to going up to the level. So when I see them, they're like, oh wow, you did that. And I'm like, it's not because it's for me, it's because I want to. I want to show all the other deaf people out there that they can do it. They can't, yeah, it's fine, but you can do it. If I can do it, anyone can do it. And that is my dream. I want to grow more and show every company that I'm the living proof that I am capable of doing anything. And the company must also employ the other deaf people, because they can also do it. They can try.
I'd like to speak about the role of your interpreters. I think you've got two of them with you this evening, and I think it's very important work that they do with you here. What sort of relationship do you build with them over time? I imagine that there is trust, and also the importance of corporations in making sure that they're hiring, interpreters and people who can really assist you in being able to communicate with your colleagues and do your work well.
Yes, that's right. Interpreting is very important for me, because we don't want any misunderstanding or anything. And yes, of course, we have to book an interpreter from EDEF. And when I have a meeting or in bands or something, and then I go and book the interpreter, and DK has been a wonderful interpreter, and she comes to interpret for me. And that helps me to understand the meeting and everything. Without interpreter, I don't think where I will be now.
You've recently seen the South African government come out and, make sign language an official language. Of course, we haven't heard of how exactly we'll ensure that it is as widely used as other languages. But I'm keen to find out from you if you think this is maybe the first step of many other steps, and what else government should be doing to ensure, that those who are hearing impaired are better integrated into society.
Yes, I agree with you. My hope is for all the business out there that they encourage hearing people to learn sign language. I also hope that the government will make all the companies say it's compulsory to learn sign language if they have deaf people in their company. Because if they can learn sign language, then the deaf and hearing people can work together nicely. And that would be fantastic. That's what my hope is.
What is the best part of your work, of being able to do your work, Charlene, the part that makes you happiest the most, and even grateful for the opportunity to be as normal as possible? I think it's an important aspect, as you're saying, that, people with hearing impairment don't want special treatment.
I've got a goosebumps. The best thing about my workplace is they treat me like a normal people, and that's one of my favorite things. I don't have to wake up in the morning going to work feeling I'm different, because they will be like, oh, she's deaf, oh, okay, I don't know how to speak to her, or I'm a little bit nervous around her. When I go to my company, they're like, hi, Charlene, how are you? And they smile at us, and I was like, wow. I wake up in the morning, I'm starting to go to work, because everybody treats us normal, and that's the best feeling. Every day, I just absolutely love it.
What do you wish to tell people who are fully abled and work with people who could be battling with any form of impairment? It could be physical, it could be a wheelchair, it could be anything. Is there a message that you have for people, maybe helping them think better or even show up better for people who may be living with an impairment?
I would encourage hearing people that don't be afraid to be with the deaf people. I would encourage them to learn sign language because it's really fun to be with the deaf people. You will absolutely love it. And it's interesting, the culture, the community. You'll be amazed how wonderful they are. And for those disabled people, just don't stop. Keep going. You can achieve. I mean, anything's impossible. And I know that because we all can do it. Nothing's stopping you guys from chasing your dream.
Well, Sonia, I'd like to thank you for coming. I'd like to thank your interpreters for coming with you. It's been fantastic. And I think you've really opened my eyes. And I think the power of business eyes. We've never had a person who was hearing impaired here with us today. But now we know it's possible. And you've done that for us. So thank you so much for being here this evening.
Thank you so much for asking to come to now.
Wonderful. That is Charlene Holder. She is a counselor at Cliff Deck Hofmeyr. That's one of the big five legal firms up in South Africa. And she's come to speak to us about diversity and inclusion for people who are hearing impaired, but also her journey, an important story, I think, worth telling when we speak about diversity and inclusion, thinking broader about it. It is 1919. Let's go to a quick break.
Power Drive with Thabiso Kotane.
This is the State Newspaper. Yes.